Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
A UN school in Gaza, packed with hundreds of displaced people, has become the latest target of an Israeli airstrike. In a statement, the Israeli Defense Forces said jets had conducted a precise strike on a Hamas compound embedded inside an UNRWA school. At least 27 people were killed in the attack. Now, in a moment, I'll be speaking to Reuters correspondent in Jerusalem, Dan Williams. But first, I just want to bring you some audio from Karen Huster, Medecins Sans Frontières medical referent in Gaza. Karen is in part of the medical team at the Al-Aqsa Hospital, one of the only remaining functional health facilities in the Middle East area, in the middle area, which is dealing with a large influx of people. Let's take a listen to what she had to say.
The past 48 hours, and especially the last 24, have seen an insane escalation of hostilities on the entire Gaza Strip, with bombings simultaneously in the north, in the middle area, in Khan Yunis, and as well as Rafah. We have seen hospitals being bombed, we have seen refugee camps being bombed, we have seen humanitarian warehouses being bombed. The situation is apocalyptic. This morning, on my way to the hospital, I saw two donkeys carrying the bodies of at least eight people who had died in the hostilities of the last night. When we arrived, the emergency room was completely packed. There were hundreds of people who were inside the emergency department, but also outside. There were families screaming. There was a man screaming for his family that had died. In the last 24 hours, this hospital, which is, I don't know how, but is still functioning, received over 70 dead bodies and well over 300 wounded patients, many of them critically injured. The odor of blood when I entered the emergency room was just overwhelming. People are lying on the floor, people are lying outside, people are lying in extensions of the emergency department in tents, bodies being brought in white plastic bags, the families standing over them and praying. It's just an emotionally overwhelming situation, and it's difficult. It's just impossible for anyone to cope. Because the Rafah border has been closed since the 7th of May, there have been no medical supplies that have been able to go in. There have been very little fuel coming in. There has been no food coming in. And so, as the hostilities intensify and the health facilities diminish, we are in a situation that is just untenable, and soon there will be nothing that we can do with the patients that are coming. These repeated mass casualty incidents that happen day after day after day, especially in Al-Aqsa Hospital, have stretched the system to the point of collapse. It is already a miracle that healthcare workers are still standing, providing care to Palestinians coming. To be frank, there is no coping going on right now. It's just barely surviving. We're in a literal washing machine, and we don't know when this situation will stop.
Karen Huster there, Medecins Sans Frontières medical referent in Gaza, speaking from inside Gaza at the Al-Aqsa Hospital. As I said, Dan Williams is with us now, Reuters correspondent in Jerusalem. I mentioned at the beginning, Dan, that attack on the UNRWA school overnight. What do you know about what happened?
Hi, good morning, and thank you for that testimony. As you noted, the IDF has said that this was what it called a precision strike, not against the entire complex, but against three rooms there that it said contained between 20 and 30 operatives from Hamas and Islamic Jihad. He described this as a forward operating base for these two groups that they were presuming that they would have safety while running operations against Israeli troops. It says it has no indication of civilian casualties in that, event. It also says that it twice called off similar strikes as part of its efforts to prevent civilian casualties.
Okay, just going back to what Karen Huster told us there. Now, another part of that clip, which we didn't hear, she explained to us that because the border is closed and Palestinians who need care outside of Gaza, they're being refused permission to leave when they need more complex medical interventions. And the World Health Organization has confirmed that no medical evacuations have happened since the 7th of May. Can there be any resolution to that situation in the absence of a ceasefire, or will that all become part of a deal whenever and if that happens?
It could be part of a deal. It could be part of the specific operation Israel is conducting in Rafah. That operation began on May 7th. So you noted that that was when the border crossing ceased operation. The Egyptians basically backed away from their side. Israel, within a couple of days, moved into the Palestinian side. It said it has uncovered a network of tunnels in the vicinity, including tunnels that it says have been used to smuggle in weaponry to Hamas from Egypt, and that could be used by Hamas to smuggle its operatives out of Gaza and perhaps even hostages. So the way Israel describes it, this was a critical target, a critical part of the operation in Rafah, an operation that Israel put off something like 2 or 3 months amid disputes with the United States. So it would not have come as a surprise to anyone. It is said that it would be open to co-running, jointly running the crossing with Egypt, but Egypt has said it wants the Palestinians back there. So that appears to be at a deadlock right now. Indeed, medical exfiltration, medical exits for treatment are a problem. In terms of the inflow of aid, however, there are a number of other avenues, and Israel says actually that, or it has said, the amount of aid going in now to Gaza is greater than what it was before the war. It would suggest then that what is happening within Gaza are distribution problems. We've had times at which Israel and indeed the United States have accused Palestinians, including perhaps Hamas authorities, of seizing aid, redirecting aid. So obviously, even if large amounts of aid are coming in, there are problems, or have been problems, in distributing it to the right people, the neediest of people.
The abject horror that Karen has described to us. We know that we have this peace deal that Joe Biden was pushing both sides to accept. It is Hamas now, isn't it, standing in the way of progress on that?
It's not a peace deal. That's a misnomer. It wouldn't be a peace deal. It would never be a peace deal. There is no prospect of peace between Hamas and Israel. Hamas, like other members of the Iranian axis, wants to see Israel gone, destroyed. So it wouldn't be peace. It would be at best a ceasefire. Now, the ceasefire described by Biden, and by the way, the president said this was originally an Israeli proposal, would be the first stage under which some hostages would be released, under which aid, increased aid, would be delivered to Gaza, and Palestinian, a number of Palestinian prisoners would be freed. But then it gets tricky because this suggests that an enduring quiet could be established in Gaza. But Israel has said that any enduring quiet would require the dismantling of Hamas as a governing and as a military entity. Hamas obviously does not want to negotiate about its own extinction. So that appears to be the deadlock. What happened yesterday was Hamas, in its highest level rebuttal or response to Biden, basically repeated its past position that it is not interested in a deal that does not entail Israel ending the war and withdrawing forces. Israel has said clearly that it would not do that. The resolution it passed on October 7th, after coming under attack by Hamas, the actual declaration of war said that the war's goals would be the elimination of Hamas, the return of all hostages, and assuring that Gaza would no longer pose a threat to Israel. So Israel has basically bound itself by government resolution to these goals, and those goals seem essentially irreconcilable with Hamas wanting a unilateral end to the war by Israel.
So the horror that we heard about there from Karen will continue for the foreseeable, it would seem.
You have a very good witness on the ground, and yes, that does square with what we've been hearing, and that would appear to be the case, yes.
Dan, thank you very much for bringing us that detail this morning. Dan Williams there, Reuters correspondent in Jerusalem. Back after this.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.